I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you being patient with God? Well, Christmas time has come and gone, but today and every day we get to celebrate that the Lord has come near to us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How amazing is it that God wrote himself into our earthly story to save us from our sin? And isn't it cool that since Jesus came, we don't have hardship, suffering, pain, or death anymore? We all know that isn't true, of course. But as the psalmist wrote long before Jesus came, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? Rise up and help us, which Jesus has now done. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. Now, at times, it feels like God's silent and that he doesn't hear us. And like the psalmist here, we can feel as though God isn't acting when we think he should, which makes it hard to live in this space where we are now, knowing that Christ has come, but feeling trapped in a fallen world. Illness didn't get packed up and put away on December 26th. Grief didn't get shoveled off the driveway. Anxiety did not get thrown out along with all the wrapping paper. And suffering didn't walk itself out the door along with your friends and family. And instead, our unanswered prayers are louder than before, since the chaos of family festivities and Mariah Carey no longer drown them out. Thank the Lord that's not on the radio anymore. Can't stand it. So my question today is, are you being patient? I like to think of myself as a patient person, at least when it comes to grocery store lines and traffic. But I'm not asking you how well you tolerate these daily inconveniences. I'm asking, are you being patient in suffering? In other words, are you being patient with God? Because it's his plan, not ours. And suffering is never fun, but it's a necessary part of his plan for our lives. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And the good news of suffering is that it leads to growth, like we just read there. Now, I've recently picked up a new discipline that's brought a lot of suffering and impatience: running. Oh my goodness. I hate every second of it, and I can't wait until it's over. But I'm thankful for the growth that it brings. So if I want to be in better physical shape, which I do, I shouldn't avoid running. And the same applies to all suffering too. If we want to be in better spiritual shape, we shouldn't try to avoid suffering. We can't avoid it anyways. So what do we do when we've just celebrated the birth of Jesus, but we're still living in the suffering? The answer is, be patient. Be patient. Now, patience doesn't ignore pain or try to avoid the hard parts of life, but rather it trusts God while walking through life's struggles with him. Now, we should remember the themes of Advent while practicing patience. So someone might be wondering, well, what's Advent? Long story short, it's a long-standing celebration and a season of joyful anticipation leading up to the birth of Christ. The 4 weeks of Advent celebrate hope, peace, joy, and love, each represented with a candle, and a fifth candle representing Jesus. This is where we get things like candlelight service from, like we celebrated just the other day. Now, Advent shows us that patience has always been and will always be built into God's overall plan. So, we ought to be patient the way the Lord taught us to be. And patience ought to be shaped by hope, joy, peace, and love. So, Advent patience is hopeful, and we hope in the waiting because God is faithful. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, a patient attitude. And this Advent patience is joyful and flows naturally out of hope. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And this Advent patience is peaceful. And this peace grows as we trust more in God's timing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this Advent patience is loving. And this love reflects God's patience, his long-suffering with us. Love is patient, and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Now, Advent isn't just about the arrival of Jesus, though. It's also about longing for him to return. And God's been training his church to wait patiently for thousands of years, and he's always teaching his people, us, to be patient as he works in the world and in our lives. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now, Jesus himself shows us just how advantageous patience can be. He entered the world as a baby and had to grow up just like the rest of us. He reigned eternally in heaven outside of time and decided of his own will, happily, to enter our world and live by the rules on this side of heaven, the less fun side. He lived not just as God in the flesh, but as a man who had to navigate his way through 30 or so years of regular life before beginning his ministry. So, if patience was necessary for Jesus, it's necessary for us too. Because his life was the perfect example of how to live. So if it's in his life, it should be in our life, even when we don't like what we see, even when it's what we don't like. Jesus felt pain. He suffered. He cried when his friend died. And he was grieved when another friend betrayed him. He was arrested for crimes he did not commit. He was beaten, and he was mocked and slandered publicly. And he died in the most shameful way imaginable. Jesus experienced these things because we experience these things. So we endure these things because he endured these things. He set the example. Even today, Christians should be prepared to patiently suffer just like Jesus did. Because we will always face earthly pain and cultural pressures that make it hard to be patient in our faith, especially since the world is so impatient with us in our belief in Christ. Now, many people, myself included, pray time and again for Jesus to spare them from pain and suffering. God, please heal my illness. Please remove this struggle from my life. Make the grief of loss go away. Remove my sadness. Cure my loneliness. Why haven't you fulfilled my deepest longing? And when will the pain stop? this isn't wrong or bad, but it misses the point of what God is offering us. God's not offering us an easier life free of suffering. He's offering us a life of bigger purpose and of greater joy in spite of suffering. And Paul puts it best when he tells the Corinthians, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, even when we have no clue whatsoever as to what God is doing, we can rest in the truth that suffering leaves us, but God never does. He never has, and he never will. As Paul says another time to the Romans, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." Now, there are a few passages that I find more difficult to come to terms with than this one. I believe it to be true, of course. And I love God, and I long to serve and please him. But it's hard. It's so hard. Just like the running, it's hard. And it highlights my impatience when things don't go along with what I perceive is good. Now, to be vulnerable and risk being mopey for a moment, second only to serving and loving Jesus, there is nothing that I desire more than to be a husband and a father. I want to love and serve my future family so that we can be examples of Christ-like love to a broken world, and broken and hurting world who definitely needs him. Now, as a 23-year-old man who really wants a family of his own, I had hoped this part of my life would have started by now. But it hasn't. And I'm currently lacking the key pieces to this puzzle. So if you know anybody, that's a joke. That's a joke. Please do not try to set me up with anybody. More seriously though, I am sure that there are others in this room who feel the same way about something. Something that hurts that the Lord won't give you, or something that he won't take that is hurting you. And you know that to feel this way hurts, and it makes it hard to be patient. However, even when we're suffering, and even when we feel forgotten, confused, and hurt, God's call to trust in him and to be patient remains the same. Always will. We don't always have to know how God is working to trust in what he's doing. We need to trust God at all times, no matter what. But we cannot expect God to rescue us from every painful thing in this life. Can't do it. God the Father did not spare his own son from suffering, pain, or death. So we should not expect to be spared from what God himself entered into willingly, which he did out of love and to rescue us from our sin. Despite this, however, there is hope to be found through our patience and suffering. The only thing that the Father did spare Jesus from was the grave. And that is the same thing that he promises to spare us from too. We will suffer, just like Jesus suffered. And we all will die, just like Jesus died. But through faith in Christ, a patient, trusting, enduring faith, our stories can end the same way Jesus's did, walking out of the tombs that were meant to hold us, so we can instead be held in the arms of our Father. Back in his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written in the psalm we read earlier and Paul now quotes, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, no matter how much suffering, no matter how much pain, famine, or sword comes our way, or what we experience in this life, we have a much greater eternal life to look forward to with Christ. Therefore, let your faith in God be a patient and a trusting faith. Even when it hurts, remain faithful. Work through your suffering, like Jesus did, rather than trying to run away from it, because you can't. And when you're bogged down by pain that won't go away, when the Lord won't take something that hurts so much, when he won't give something that you long for, or when you're begging God to bring your prayers to fruition, pray as Jesus prayed. "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." So I'll ask again, are you being patient with God? Are you trusting his plan no matter what cup gets passed your way? Because it's all going according to his plan, not ours. And his plan, although unseen, is so much better than we can imagine. We just have to wait. Hopefully, joyfully, peacefully, lovingly, and oh so patiently. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you, and we are so thankful that you are working all things together for your good in our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to remain faithful as we patiently endure all the suffering that this world throws our way. Lord Jesus, we praise you, and we are grateful to have a Savior who has felt our pain and is an example that gives us hope. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.